Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
So we've reached a trade deal with the US. All physical European goods will now face a 15% tariff, while Americans will pay almost nothing to sell their goods here. Is it a trade deal or a trade capitulation? And what will it mean for our companies selling in the States or American giants based here? My next guest is the chair of the IDA, but also director on the boards of the drinks giant CNC, as well as the wealth manager, the energy company Uno, and he's also involved in infrastructure advising the government. Fergal O'Rourke is sitting in front of me. Good morning, Fergal.
Good morning, Joe.
Any thoughts on the trade deal?
Well, I suspect the narrative today will be very positive from all points in Europe.
And I suppose, all political points, perhaps.
All political points in Europe. And I suppose it's positive in two small ways. I'm always looking for the silver lining. One is that the alternative of an all-out trade war was worse. And secondly, and I wouldn't underestimate this, companies can now plan with a degree of certainty. And certainly talking to companies in recent months, it was the uncertainty that was killing them, not knowing whether it would be 10, 15, 30, worse. At least now they can plan with certainty. So in boardrooms and all around Ireland and the US, there'll be no harping back to the way we were. People will now be focused on the way forward, saying, OK, this is now the landscape we're playing against. What do we need to do?
And yet it is a very one-sided trade deal.
Yeah, I mean, interesting reading the first cut of history this morning in the papers. There's no doubt that when it comes to exercising political muscle, the US administration did that. And, you know, you'd also have to reflect the fact that Ukraine, as an overlay to these trade talks, was there the whole time. Europe needing to keep the US involved in Ukraine. So it wasn't just your normal trade talks. But there's no doubt when the history comes to be written of who is exercising the bigger economic muscle here, the answer will be the US.
The irony is, and we won't dwell too long on it, is that Europe has economic heft. It has economic muscle, but it didn't flex it, not even once.
Yeah, it's interesting. As I say, I think the Ukraine was an overlay that wouldn't be normally present in trade discussions such as this. The real necessity to keep the US at Ukraine's side in the current war. But it's interesting that, you know, when you look back at the Brexit negotiations and you look at these negotiations, the US seems to have played it a little bit different. Mm. Definitely, if you looked at the response of China and Canada, for example, who paid hardball from the get-go, Europe's perspective was, no, let's treat this in a more
mature way.
And let's see. But I mean, there's no doubt in terms of the political win, the US have shown their muscle. But let's see how it plays out. Will this lead to higher inflation in the US? I think anybody who says they know with certainty is not telling the truth.
Will it make your job as the chair of the IDA, or would it make Michael Lowen's job tougher?
Obviously, any tariffs at all. But if you break down the Irish economy into probably three segments, you've got the Irish multinationals, if we can call them that, the sort of Kerrys, the CRHs, the Flutters. They probably have significant operations in the US, unlikely to be really impacted by that. You look at the foreign direct investment marketplace, and while there's a large number of, say, pharmaceuticals that go from Ireland to the US, we've got a much bigger base of business beyond that. I think the real people impacted, you know, and it'd be great to hear how the likes of an Irish Distillers or an Ornua who own Kerrygold, how are they going to be impacted? That Irish large indigenous operation.
Well, their product is going to be 15% at least more expensive in US shops.
And the question is then, will the consumer, is it a premium product? Will the consumer be able to absorb that? Kerrygold butter, for example, is
a premium product.
Yeah. Well, therefore, will they be able to pass it on to consumer, or will that erode part of the profit margins? And that's going to be the discussions in a lot of businesses today.
Now, you wear many hats. I announced some of them at the start. You're a member of the Infrastructure Acceleration Task Force. Now, as you know, last Friday, Amazon walked away from a big development, big facility on the border between Meath and Dublin because ESB Network said they couldn't guarantee supply. We have a crisis of infrastructure here, don't we?
Well, I don't want to talk about the individual case there. I think the Taoiseach has said he's looking into it. But we do have an infrastructure issue. And in fact, it's well trailed in the media over the weekend that Minister Chambers is bringing the first phase of the Acceleration Infrastructure Task Force to Cabinet tomorrow, which is really saying where are the problems. And they've done a huge consultation. And there's no doubt planning, if you break the sort of where are the three problem areas for infrastructure, its planning, and particularly the amount of judicial review that goes on now in relation to planning. It's in relation to the regulatory environment that people operate against in. And in fairness, there's a culture of risk aversion in the system now. And the Department of Public Expenditure have held up their hands here and said, you know, we've got to do better. If we want to make infrastructure do better, quicker, faster. Ishgerin have said now it takes about 7 to 10 years to get for the full life cycle of getting approval for a small water waste treatment plant. ESB have said it takes about 7 years to get the same for a substation. Roads are now taking 50 to 20 years from start to finish. That's twice the distance.
That's crazy.
That's twice the length. It's absolutely crazy.
And that can't just be down to construction. That is mostly down to objections.
Yes, and that's going to have to change. And one, as the task force have worked through this in recent weeks, one of the clear things coming out is that in common law jurisdictions like Ireland, the rights of the individual trump the right of the common good. Whereas in most other European jurisdictions, the common good. And, you know, at one of our meetings, the Taoiseach came along and talked about an incident in Cork where one particular area in County Cork was looking for a flood relief pipe because their houses were getting flooded and there were objections to it. Now, he talked about that being morally, just unjustified.
Absolutely. And he said on News Talk Breakfast only last week that people need to ask themselves, why are they objecting? And whether their objection is worth it. Given the common good, as you refer, the Constitution of 1937 refers to the common good a few times, but in the law, the common good doesn't hold sway. Should the law be changed?
Well, there's an earlier part of that, which is hearts and minds need to be won, because if you think about foreign direct investment, I'll put on my other hat for a second. Mm. You know, every time I talk to visiting Americans, business Americans, they say to me, even your taxi drivers are in favour of foreign direct investment. We won the battle for hearts and minds on foreign direct investment years ago. Mm-hmm. We haven't won it on infrastructure. Just at home there recently, I got something in the door saying no wind turbines in Dublin Bay. And I think
was it from Donald Trump?
We've got to go from a NIMBY perspective to a YIMBY perspective and say, look, infrastructure, enhancing our infrastructure brings societal good. And going back to the foreign direct investment argument, the reason people are in favour of foreign direct investment is every town, village and community in Ireland sees the positive benefits of it. We need to win the hearts and minds, but we also need to start saying for certain national infrastructure projects, whether it's getting water from the Shannon to Dublin, whether it's wastewater, whether it's Metro North, we need to say what is in the common, the good of the wider community here.
But that may need legal change.
It will. It certainly may require legislative change for certain major infrastructural projects to get them through quicker. Mm. Because right now, there were, just to give you a sense of it, there were 42 judicial reviews in 2014 against unblowed Pinola.
Just in a single year.
In 2014, 42. There were 142 last year. For the half year already, there have been 89. Judicial review of infrastructural projects. Yeah, but it's getting out of control. If we want, we just cannot continue with this level of objection to what are projects that 99% of the people say we need it economically, but more importantly, we need it societally.
Yeah. The Planning and Development Act, the biggest piece of legislation ever passed through the Oireachtas.
Second biggest, but yes.
That's spotted.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any benefit or any...
Not yet. There are parts of it that haven't been fully activated. But I think there is a political will right across the spectrum in all parties to say we can't continue the way we are in infrastructure. And this government has, I believe, is a window now to actually make change. I'm hoping over the summer months, as we work through hopefully what will be radical solutions, that we'll face a different environment in the autumn, that the cabinet will be offered by the group some chances to make radical changes that will make infrastructure to the benefit of all society a lot easier.
To benefit all of us. Yeah, Fergal, thank you so much for coming in, for getting up early and joining us. That is Fergal O'Rourke, the chair of the IDA, a member of the Infrastructure Acceleration Workforce, also a director at UNO Energy and CNC.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.